This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael, this was a weird one. You had the Final Four over the weekend and the women's side of things, specifically what we're talking about with UConn and South Carolina, Gino Auriemma and Dawn Staley. After the game, they were seen going at each other. Well, I always thought they had a pretty good relationship with each other, but they were like fighting, yelling. Gino, at the end of this one, Mike, was asked like what was going on. And he said that he was troubled that Staley hadn't shaken his hand before the game. She did shake his hand before the game. There's video footage of him shaking, of them shaking hands. And then it changed to, well, he had to stand around for 3 minutes waiting for her to meet him at center court. There's another viral clip out there that shows him last year standing at center court right by the scores table, waving his hands open, just like waiting for her to get there. And it was like this whole theatrical thing. And then she comes over to shake hands and it was fine. It's just like, he's complaining how long it took her to come over. First, it was they didn't shake hands. But he was complaining, then it turned into, well, he had to wait there for 3 minutes to shake hands. Okay. So he's mad about that after the game. South Carolina beats UConn. She starts to get like, what are you talking about? We shook hands. I would never do that. And then it starts to get heated. And then Dawn Staley, like, they have to, like, hold her back. She starts screaming, going back through to her own bench. Game's over, by the way. And she starts flipping out, saying, I will beat Gino's... I will beat his... just at the top of her lungs, man. And Gino did issue an apology. He said, I want to apologize to the staff and the team at South Carolina. It was uncalled for in how I reacted. The short story should be how well South Carolina played, and I don't want my actions to detract from that. I've had a great relationship with their staff, and I sincerely want to apologize to them. I got to tell you, the whole thing sounds really petty. He was extremely petty about it. Her response was childish as well, of, I'm just going to resort to, I'm going to beat you up. Like, I don't know. They shook hands, Mike. So I don't know what the whole... I guess he strikes me as the kind of guy, because he's such a legend in the game. He's such a legend that almost wants the handshake to be, you are the best, and just like this whole event, rather than just, I'm going over, good luck today, we move on. I don't think Dawn gave him that, and it was more of just a quick handshake, move on. They didn't sit and talk for any length of time. So the whole thing is just overblown. And I don't think Dawn helped her case out at all by flipping out, saying she was going to then resort to beating his you-know-what.
Yeah, honestly, he's immature and she overreacted. And come on, coaches. You're supposed to be, you're coaching students. You're supposed to be like a mentor. And here you are. You're the children.
Right. He's mad because she didn't make this handshake like this big event, and then she blows up because he's kind of yelling in her face, and rightfully so. Like, I get her getting frustrated with it. But then to go on down to the bench and start screaming out that she's going to beat his you-know-what, it's just, it was really weird. It was a really strange occurrence. And I think they both just acted like children in this case. I thought, you know, Gino's, it starts with Gino to talk about this handshake thing, and then and it ends with her. She made it a little bit worse, I think. We got the Lawn Star on the First Advantage Hotline. Lawn Star, what's on your mind, my friend?
Hey, Brady, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, dude. What's up?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Hey, you know, on this UConn thing, I'll tell you what, I blame him more than anything.
Yeah,
I
mean, he started it. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he would have just kept quiet and said, wouldn't say anything. This would not have been a story.
Well, and it's like they shook hands, and at first he's kind of lying, saying they didn't shake hands. They clearly did, and then I think once he realized, okay, there's video footage of it, he didn't like the way they shook hands.
Well, you know what? There's a few things that, hey, I don't like the way they shake my hand, but I don't make a big deal out of it, you know?
Well, and don't you think that he wanted it to be more of a, she's, like, worshiping him for a moment, you know?
Well, I think he just wants more attention on himself more than anything. I really do believe that.
Yeah, and talk about being like a spoiled, you know, a sore loser. That's really what it looks like, and it's sad to say that about Gino, who has such a great career.
Yeah, and did you see where Hurley was kind of sticking up for him, too?
I didn't see. What did he say?
He made some remarks about it. I can't remember what he said, but there was a story about him sticking up for this whole mess.
Wow. We just got some breaking news here, Lawnster, while you're on with us, man.
Fire away there.
Fire away with this breaking news. Michael's going to hit us with the tune officially any minute now.
I don't know where it is.
Whoa, okay. That's good. You can just hum it. Lawnster, hit us with some breaking news music.
And now I break a news story from Brady. Take it away.
Okay, well, yes, that was very good, Lawnster. It's actually from ESPN. North Carolina intends to hire former longtime NBA coach Michael Malone as the school's next basketball coach. How about that? Former Nuggets coach is going to the other UNC.
That is a surprise right there.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, I'll say that was that's a big story right there, Lawnster.
That is. I mean, hey, that's a story to break the story right there. Yeah. That's enough to make that Connecticut thing go bye-bye.
Yeah, right there. Hubert Davis, of course, was there for a while, and he got fired, and there was a lot of talk about that. But Michael Malone, going to the college side of basketball, did not see that coming at all. His name had come up with several different NBA jobs. I didn't see a lot of the college stuff. So Michael Malone's going to be a college coach.
You know what? Congratulations to him.
Yeah, all right.
Think he'll play any of the freshmen?
Lawnster, appreciate. Yeah, that's good. Appreciate the call, Lawnster.
Hey, for sure, and go Broncos.
Wow. Well, there you go, Mike. Top stories of the day. Just got a little top storier with that move. That's crazy. That is a crazy story.
The real question is going to be, how's his relationship with the AD after a few years?
Mm-hmm.
You think both will be fired in the same year?
Here's what I wonder about this stuff, Mike. NBA is completely different. The college, this is a way different gig. With the NIL thing, all that stuff you got to worry about now. I mean, this is a way different thing. How does Michael Malone handle that world? Color me shocked, absolutely shocked. Because I thought for sure when Michael Malone jumped in as a head coach again, it was going to be with an NBA team. You know, so North Carolina has Bill Belichick as their head football coach, and they have one-time title-winning Michael Malone, a good coach, not even close to the status of Bill Belichick, but still star-studded. He spent his time on ESPN this year, so a lot of people that didn't know Michael Malone then certainly know Michael Malone now. What does that say about this world we're living in with NIL? At least from UNC's perspective, the other UNC, we're going to go out and get some superstar type coaches to come over here,
who've already dealt with superstar babies making a lot of money.
Malone, not as I wouldn't agree with you there. Who are you referring to as a baby that
well,
he had
I
to
mean,
deal with?
NBA players can be superstar babies.
But if you want to be factual here, which is what we try to do, Mike.
LeBron.
Malone, he was never a head coach of
I'm
LeBron
saying
James.
In general, NBA coaches deal with babies.
But I'm telling you, in general, Michael Malone, I don't think had to deal with that during his time with the Nuggets. Maybe with Boogie Cousins at Sacramento, but he was only there for a season and maybe eight games. What was it, 14 games? He didn't deal with that kind of stuff. The Nuggets, during his time, I mean, yeah, I guess he dealt with Russell Westbrook, but I don't know that he was considered a bad teammate. But this is nutty, man. North Carolina intends to hire former longtime NBA coach Michael Malone. That's a shocker. You know, I thought, if anything, he might stay on another year as an analyst, but instead he's going to UNC. Good, we won't have to hear him basically turn on the Nuggets every step of the way now. Because he's already said he believes Shea is the MVP over Joker, which last year, right around this time, it was the opposite. It was kind of like, why would a guy that gets to the free throw line more be considered a stronger candidate than a guy like Nikola Jokic? But now that he's not a Nuggets coach, it changes things.
Sour grapes?
Maybe, but that one's a stunner. That is an absolute stunner. Michael Malone going to North Carolina will be their next head basketball coach.
Which is more shocking, them firing their coach or hiring this coach? Because I didn't.
More
I think
shocking.
Firing their coach was like ridiculous.
I would say this is more shocking than that. I'm with you on the firing of Hubert Davis. That was a little bit of a shock to me. But hiring Michael Malone, that I didn't see that coming at all. In fact, I think his name surfaced a few times surrounding other NBA teams. But now here we sit, and he is a college coach. I'll be curious to see how he handles the NIL world that we're in, if that is in fact how it continues to go. President Donald Trump signed an executive order on Friday designed to limit how long athletes can play college sports and how often they can transfer between schools. Everything in here is obvious stuff that we've all said, yeah, needs to be fixed. But there's a reason it hasn't been fixed. Mark Johnson's going to join us coming up next. We'll get into the story in full detail. Also, Dre Greenlaw, he was straight up not having a good time in Denver. A very eye-opening story in the Denver Post about his time with the Broncos and the practice schedule and all that. I was shocked he opened up the way he did. We'll get to some of that coming up later on in the program. But Mark Johnson, let's break into this executive order. Does Mark think that this has some teeth, some legs to stand on? We'll find out coming up next.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Joining me now, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, and also I think many of our listeners would say the voice of reason when we're talking about college athletics, Mark Johnson. Mark, I'm assuming you saw on Friday President Donald Trump signed an executive order Friday.
Yep.
First off, I mean, all these ideas you and I have talked about,
yes.
The question I have for you, does this have legs to stand on? Does this have real teeth?
I think it does to a degree. I was talking with a couple of coaches here just a few days ago, and one of the guys says to me, "Goes, this can do nothing." And I said, "I'm not sure it's designed to do anything." He says, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "I don't think the intention of this was to lay down the edict and say this is what it's going to be in college athletics. I think what this was a seed, kind of seeding the cloud. Let me lay this out there. Let's put something tangible out there, and we all know immediately the lawsuits are coming, but it speeds up the process. So now you've got a framework out there. Now let the legal action take place so that these cases quickly go through the court system as quickly as we can get them through, and then you've got some sort of legal ground then to build upon on the backside of this. So that's the way I read this. I didn't think this was going to be any kind of, coming down from the heavens, some sort of edict, this is what college athletics is going to be, and we'd all abide with it. I thought this was a way just to kind of speed up the process to get through the legal process, I thought.
That's a great point. I mean, the fact that it's getting this high it means that we can't just talk about it anymore. Yeah. We've been doing that forever. Exactly. While we're talking, everything keeps, more and more things keep unraveling in the college world, and all we've been able to do is talk about it at this point.
Exactly. So this gives us something tangible now. So here it comes. He signs the executive order. It sits out there from a legal standpoint. The lawsuits now immediately jump on this thing, and then we start moving forward with traction, if you will. So that's kind of the way I looked at this. I thought it was interesting over the weekend. You might have seen it. It was everywhere. You know, the CBS panel was discussing college athletics, and they were going back and forth and on and on and on. There's some stuff in there that I don't do this often, but I tweeted back at Jay Billis the other day. I think Jay, and he's a brilliant guy, make no mistake about it, but I think Jay has been a horrible impact on college athletics. And way back when I was at Syracuse years ago, because Jay was, we're in the Big East, and Jay was coming through doing games all the time, but he and I debated this back and forth. I thought Jay was so far off base to begin with. And he was laying out these ideas out there that, he likes to compare apples and oranges all the time. Look at coaches can jump back and forth between programs, but players can't, right? That's a false argument. Okay. Number one, coaches have contracts. If they break a contract, there are repercussions of that. There has to be a buyout. Now, whether that's the coach or the organization, the school that he's going to, are paying it out, but there is some sort of payment that's made to the school that he's leaving in order to do that, where players are just able to jump willy-nilly from one school to another. And so you're arguing apples and oranges when you start making these comparisons between coaches and players. I think that's not a fair argument. So a lot of this is built just nothing upon – it's built upon just whim at different times. And that's – Brady, that's what always bothers me about that. We haven't been talking about the same thing. So if we want this thing to be on a similar footing, if you will – then players have to have real-world responsibilities. They have to be employees and such that, yes, we're going to have contracts. Okay, and if that's the case then, okay, well, institutions, guess what? Your radio station's not paying for your house. Your CU's not paying for my house and our food directly. It's indirect. And so the players have to live by that as well. Coaches aren't getting houses, and they're not getting all of their food paid for, and on and on and on. So let's then make this, if we're going to do it, let's have apples to apples, then players have to have contracts, they got to have responsibility, you can't pay, the school's not paying for your education and your medical and all of these different services, because right now the players are getting their butt breaded on both sides, and that needs to change. And so that's why it hasn't been a fair discussion, in my view, up to this point.
Yeah, well, and again, the big issues here, obviously, we're going to get into NIL stuff too, but the transferring, yeah, it all kind of goes together, and limiting the transfer, yeah, to basically one time, I think is an excellent compromise. One time before, yeah, you, yes, have to deal with any punishment like sitting out a season. I would hope that's something that could eventually go through.
Yeah, no, I've got no issue with that. The problem you get into is when you start getting into, Congress is going to have to act here at some point in time, because an organization like the NFL can make their own rules. You've got Major League Baseball can make their own rules. College has not been able to do that so far, and everything they do then gets taken to court. So at some point, they have got to get the exemption where they can oversee their own organization. Here's the problem. I had a coach tell me this, that he talked to a politician, and the politician in Washington said, there is no way we're going to give the NCAA the same kind of exemptions we give Major League Baseball and the NFL and everybody else, because they don't deserve it. They haven't actually governed themselves very well and trustworthily up to this point in time. And so there's a credibility issue with the NCAA right now.
Yeah, no question about it. I will be very interested to just see, like you said, this is kind of planting that seed just to kind of get this ball rolling where we are having these. If we're going to debate it, let's debate it. Let's find a middle ground here, because you and I both agree, Mark, that we just can't continue to go down this road. It's getting far too complicated.
Well, it's getting ridiculous, and quite honestly, and let's be very honest about it. Virtually every athletic department in America is going into deep, deep debt right now. Everybody, virtually everybody, is running in the red right now. And that can't continue. Because at some point in time, that house of cards, economically speaking, is going to collapse. And so that is an issue. And what we're doing, you know, I get a kick out of it, and it's happening everywhere. Apparently, and I didn't realize this, apparently every college player in America is Michael Jordan now, right? Michael Jordan sends that fax, I'm back. Well, guess what? There's a small handful of people that can make those sort of announcements. I'm back, right? If your name was Kobe Bryant or your name was, you know, Tom Brady or, you know, Wayne Gretzky or, you know, pick your superstar athlete. But this idea that we have to celebrate every single athlete, oh, well, thank you for coming back and accepting a larger contract and getting every aspect of your life cared for and paid for. I mean, that's really where it really does what we're doing, and there's a lot of aspects of society we can talk about. This social media is the primary culprit, but the feeding of the narcissism in all of us at this point in time really is stunning to watch. That everyone apparently has the, shall we say, the cachet, the gravitas to have to make an announcement that I'm coming back. You know, I saw this, somebody from, I don't know who it was, some college player, you know, averaged 2.5 points and like a rebound and a half or something. Somebody out east was in the ACC or somewhere, and the guy made the announcement, I'm back. Well, thank goodness we've got that kind of productivity coming back, right? This isn't the player that's the All-American, and, you know, averaging 22 a game and 13 rebounds or something. I mean, these are just bench guys, but this is where we've come, that everybody now, we must all announce, because the world is waiting with bated breath to hear that Mark Johnson, the 10th guy in the bench at NC State, is coming back, right? But that's where we've gotten to in this world.
Well, it's so frustrating because, again, it makes for content, but it's like now I'm looking at all these teams that we follow and we care about, and it's not about who you're bringing in first anymore. It's about who can you keep, and that's literally everyone on the roster. You have a question as to whether or not they're going to come back. I'm seeing young dudes, like freshman guys. It's a shock that they are coming back. We barely even got to see them play.
Did you see, you saw just a few minutes ago on Twitter, the University of Tennessee women's basketball program has nobody left on their team. They're the last player, a five-star freshman that played this last year, had moderate numbers, just announced that she's going. So think about it. There's a blue blood women's basketball program, Tennessee. I mean, you think about Pat Summitt and how dominant they were through the 2000s. And now Pat's obviously passed on, and there's somebody else there. But every single player has left. Like, are you serious? So every year you've got to totally rebuild your roster. That's why when I was out in Las Vegas for the Crown event last week, and a couple of fans stopped me, like, "Holy cow, we lost three guys." Yeah, that's nothing. I mean, that's literally nothing in 2026. You know, now they were prominent guys, but still, I mean, it really is an amazing thing. Now, here's the other side of the coin, by the way, and here's where reality is sitting in with some of these players as well. We talk about them having full responsibility, okay? If you're going to be paid like a big boy, we're going to treat you like a big boy, right? We're not going to pay all your bills. We're not going to do all of these things. You're going to have to actually start managing everything. There's also what we're seeing in college athletics now is guys getting fired, and they're just moving on from them. And so that's the other side of this, and you can tell, I've heard some stories from some coaching friends of mine about players like, wait a minute, you're telling me I can't come back? Well, yeah, you can't have all the freedom of this. Guess what? In the real world of being an employee, you can get hired and fired. If you don't live up to our expectations, we can move on from you. And so there's also buyer's remorse from another players out there that are like, well wait a minute, boy, it'd be nice to have a contract for 2 or 3 years. That way I can't get fired. You're exactly right. But that's not the way it is right now.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And that's the thing, without the contracts or some kind of guarantee. Okay, you can't transfer. You can transfer once. So I got to look over my shoulder once with you, or one time. But if I get a guy that's transferred, then obviously I don't have to worry about that anymore.
There you go.
That's the such an issue now, the fact that these coaches – like, I just saw Michael Malone, Mark, is going to North Carolina. My first thought is, really? He didn't have to deal with that kind of stuff in the NBA. Now, how is that going to work when he has to deal with trying to retain guys when you can't just sign him to a five-year contract?
Did that just happen?
It just happened. It's a wild story, man. Yeah.
Wow.
North Carolina hiring Michael Malone. So now North Carolina has Bill Belichick and Michael Malone.
Holy.
Isn't that wild?
That is a perplexing, and I'm not anti Michael Malone.
No.
That just is a perplexing hire. But that's, you know, this is where we're at in college athletics. The line has become so blurred at this point in time. And I don't know a coach. There's the people I work with at CU. I've told you I've got a pool of friends in both football and basketball that I talk to on a regular basis. Everybody hates every aspect of this. Nobody likes it. Nobody's enjoying it. The only people right now, for a limited period of time at this point, are the athletes at this point in time that have every benefit going their direction. But nobody else seems to be enjoying this in any way, shape, or form. And that's why we've got to get to the point where you get your arms around this, because it really is. It's so disappointing and so difficult to understand and appreciate. And I won't say a name. I'll just say one of the CU players that left. I talked to a coaching friend of mine who his institution was looking at said player. And I said, well, what kind of ballpark are we talking financially? The number he threw at me, literally, I about dropped the phone.
Wow.
And I said, well, this is a relatively limited player. And he goes, well, that's, yeah, I know, but their ability really has nothing to do with it. We have a need, so we're willing to pay that much money. And I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Nobody does business that way. Nobody.
No, and what you're seeing is, yeah, like, I'm seeing it with a bunch of players where it's like, yeah, he was good, but really that amount of money? Colleges are more likely to just say, you know what? We got the money. We're going to throw it at him. We got the donor support, so let's throw it at him. If it sticks, great. If it doesn't, we'll throw money at another guy.
Yeah, you're hard-pressed to understand it. Now you're seeing numbers. For example, since we're just about to wrap up college basketball, you're hearing numbers that next year, if you want to be at the top of college basketball, you better be in the $12 to $15 million range for your roster. Keep in mind, Kentucky was over 20 already this year. Got knocked out early. North Carolina got knocked out in the first round. I mean, you just wonder that there is going to be voter fatigue at some point in time. And you wonder exactly when that starts to happen, donor fatigue. When exactly they're going to be like, we can't do this anymore. You know?
Yeah, I would imagine at some point it's already hitting some.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard, you know, obviously big names like Troy Aikman. We've heard from others where it's like, I'm just not going to do it anymore.
Yeah, I'm hard pressed to understand it. But I thought there was an interesting piece I read the other day where somebody like Sports Business Journal or somebody did this piece about, you know, and you and I have talked to this in some regard in the past, that you're a college athlete, you're going to get through. Now, there are certain levels. Okay, the top-level guys are going to make life-changing kind of money, right? They're going to make life-changing kind of money. And that's one thing. But that's 1%. There's going to be the middle-range guys that are going to make very nice money. But, you know, I was trying to explain this. I was talking to a college student. I got some kids stopped me on campus here the other day, and we got talking about it. And I said, you understand something, okay? When you hear that somebody gets $500,000, okay, that's a large sum of money for anybody. We would all appreciate it if somebody gave us $500,000. But I said, let's really look at the reality of this. There are some agents out there getting somewhere between 10 and 20%. So let's just say 10% of that is gone right there, okay? So that's a pretty big chunk of change right off the bat. Uncle Sam's going to get their 37, 38, 39%, whatever that is. Okay, all of a sudden you're talking about nearly 50% of that money is gone right off the top. Okay, so now your $500,000 went to $250,000. That's still a very nice chunk of money, make no mistake about it. But then I'm around this enough and I see enough of it. I talk to other guys in the industry. You know, the kid comes rolling in, he's got the $300,000 car. Okay, now that's gone pretty fast. And so that money can disappear for you. That's not life-changing money. So what happens then? You get these young people, they're living high on the hog for about 4 years, going through college, or 5 years, getting through the back end of this. Then they get to the back end, and they're not professional athletes. They don't have their degree. They can't tap into an alumni base, and all of a sudden they're looking around for a job, and they're, you know, okay, hey, we got a nice position we can give you. It'll be $60,000 a year. Well, that is a very big change in your lifestyle all of a sudden. But that's the reality of what these young men and young women, well, especially on the young men's side, they're making more money on that side than women are. That's going to be a very tough thing for somebody to understand and comprehend.
Yeah.
And make a change. You know, and so I don't think we're doing anybody any real favors in this whole deal. I've stated that before. I've been stating it for 25 years. I still think it's true, but, you know, nobody seems to want to listen to me, and here we are in this total mess.
It's a mess, Mark. And no, we very much enjoy listening to you on this because I don't think there's – I think even people that are for how these changes have gone, I think they could even admit that it's not the way – they believed this would happen, the way we're getting more and more transfers, the way administration, coaches, whatever, external factors are reaching out to these players before they even enter the transfer portal. We're not even following the new rules of it, too.
No.
So it's made it 10 times easier to break those rules.
Well, I'll say this. If you didn't see this coming, you're rather naive, all right? Listen, this is human history right here. This is human sin nature right here. It's all about greed. I want mine. I'm going to keep mine. I'm going to get mine. That's what human nature is all about. It is the history of humankind. I don't care what country. I don't care what denomination. I don't care what race. It's the history of all of us. This is what happens. So what did we do? We opened up the bank vault and we opened up the door. I'm going to run for the door and I'm going to get as much out of the bank vault as I possibly can. This shouldn't be a mystery to anybody. We just made this thing, just opened it up and said, go. And I've said on your show before, I said, you know, greed and envy used to be two of the seven deadly sins. Now they're considered as virtues, right? I'm going to get my bag. That's virtuous. And so nobody should be surprised where we're at. This is exactly where human nature always takes us. I mean, it's the Lord of the Flies, for goodness sakes. Everyone read that book back in junior high or high school. This is the way it always works out, so we shouldn't be surprised by that. So if we're going to have this system, could we have done something to monetize college athletics? Certainly we could have. There could have been all sorts of things that we could have done leading up to this, going all the way back to 2004 when Jeremy Bloom opened up this whole thing with, hey, I'm an Olympic athlete, I just want to get my endorsement deals there. And by the way, just a quick aside, you know, you said something about talking about NIL. There is no NIL going on virtually at all.
No, you're right.
It is all pay for play. And by the way, do you know how they're getting around NIL right now? I just found this out a short time ago. You're going to love this one. You ready for this? I haven't heard many people talking about this. Here's the way, Brady, they're getting around NIL right now. Because the new rules have this clearinghouse, right? You're supposed to send the NIL deal to the clearinghouse. And then they'll take a look at the legitimacy and make sure it's actually an endorsement deal. You're using name, image, and likeness. Well, that's not happening. You're getting around this like crazy. So here's the way they're getting around it. So said college team says to, let's say, you're being represented by Bob, and I'm talking to Bob about getting you. I've got $1 million in my revenue sharing, so I'm going to give that to Brady. But we've made a $3 million deal. Well, how are we going to get you $2 million? Well, here's the way we do it. We're not going to go through the clearinghouse because it's going to be very tough for us to get our deal through the clearinghouse. So I'm going to hire your agent, Bob, as a consulting contract. He's going to consult with me on what athletes I need to be looking at, and I'm going to pay him $2 million. And then he's going to give that to you.
Wow.
That's the way they're getting around this
right now. My
goodness,
yeah.
There's the loophole. I had no idea, and about 2 weeks ago I was talking to a coaching buddy of mine, and I said something about, how are they paying this? And he goes, well, I'll tell you how they're doing it. He said, this is what's happening, and this is the new way of cheating in college athletics.
Wow. I mean, but that's the thing. They're just getting more creative with their workarounds here,
yep.
And it blows your mind. It really
and
does.
There's no penalties. The tampering is going on with coach. You know what happens in the NFL if you tamper with a coach?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
You've seen that. I mean, the price to pay for that is enormous, right? Millions of dollars in draft picks and on and on and on. You don't think North Carolina's been tampering with coaches all over the country? Right?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, of course
mm-hmm.
they have. and are tampering with players, and you know, not specifically all North Carolina probably is, but everybody else is as well. Everybody's tampering, and there's no penalty for it. So as long as I can put my hand in the fire, I'm not going to get burned. Why am I going to stop putting my hand in the fire, right?
Well, and there's just so many workarounds, too, where it can't be, like, directly to you. You know,
right.
You have so many different ways of reaching out. Mark, great stuff from you, as always, my friend. And we'll see. I was fascinated to see this executive order on Friday, and we'll be following it along with you, I'm sure, as we progress here.
It's all about the lawyers right now, Brady.
Oh, yeah.
And
lawyers are just like, you know, licking their lips. Heck yeah, here we go. We're going to jump right back into this.
Exactly right. Always good to talk to you.
All right, man. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. All right, 42 minutes after the hour. Michael, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
That was like lightning, Michael. You were moving, man. Stretching it out here on a Monday afternoon.
Now my knee hurts.
Well, it was worth it, probably. Okay, so that's like, that news kind of, it doesn't bother me. I mean, good for Michael Malone, but that's going to be fascinating to see. He is an NBA coach, Mike. He fits the prototype for what an NBA coach is, for better or for worse. He did. I mean, he was like an assistant, kind of, back in the day in the mid 90s. He was an assistant high school basketball coach at Friends School of Baltimore. He graduated from Loyola. He joined Oakland University as an assistant coach for the Golden Grizzlies men's basketball team. He was about to start training to join the Michigan State Police, I did not know this, before getting a job from Providence College. He was an assistant for Providence Friars men's basketball team from 95 to 98. And then he was director of men's basketball administration before going to the NBA in 2001. Either way, so he has some college experience, but that's not the same. Well, yeah, but...
Not NIL.
College experience in the 90s and early 2000s is nothing compared to what we're talking about now. Completely different beast. I'm fascinated to see how old is Michael Malone? He is 54 years old. I mean, he's still young. But that's a lot to kind of relearn. I figure for sure he'd be an NBA coach again. And he may still. I don't know how long this will last. 12:49 the time, but there is a CSU tie-in to that. How about Kyan Evans? Really good Rams player. Is still there at UNC. Didn't really have the year I think he was anticipating. All right, we got plenty to discuss. Coming up, also Dre Greenlaw and his time in Denver. Not great. We'll be right back.
The Athletics get the win in 11.
Just how will this season go for the Colorado Rockies? Hear games right here on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey everybody, Steve Smiley, head men's basketball coach at the University of Northern Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. We got one more hour to go. We got The Whole Show pressure cooker coming up at 105. And I want to get to this Dre Greenlaw story from the Denver Post. Your thoughts on Michael Malone going to the University of North Carolina. That is it's a wild story. Certainly the story of the day.
Sounds like a bad idea to me.
That just doesn't, it doesn't seem like it fits in my brain. Why, Mike? I don't know.
They did just extend their baseball coach, by the way. So at least they have one college coach working for them.
Yeah, talk about going with big hitters, big names in the pro leagues, bringing them over. Still, we're still waiting to see if that Bill Belichick thing's going to work out. That just got weirder once he got hired. Whole Show pressure cooker coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.